Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bow Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right, this is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
It's really, really not that good.
It's time once again for the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast right here in beautiful Sherrard, Illinois. We are at 1600 Bucks Lair Place right in the Buckatorium. I had to get some podcast fuel. Oh, it feels good to be back. I am Steve in Kurt's house with Kurt.
Thank you.
You're welcome for me being in your house. And we are joined by Mr. Nate Conklin and Mr. Jordan Johnson. Whoa.
You forgot the last name.
I almost called you the wrong Jordan from Whisperwood
it.
Outdoors.
Yeah.
You know what Jordan I was talking about. Our good buddy Jordan Hubinski. I was calling that.
Right on, right on.
But welcome to the Buckatorium for the second time?
Second time.
Or is it third?
Second.
Second, yeah, for sure.
Second.
Yeah.
Welcome back, boys. Appreciate
yeah,
it.
Thank you. Stoked.
Don't know why I do it. But we just got done slapping each other. Well, Steve.
Yeah.
Right before the podcast.
Yeah, I'm wondering how much we're going to reference that, because we're talking about it and people will probably have no idea.
It'll be a surprise, I guess, right?
So. Unless I go home and edit it right away and like get it over to you before, which I could.
Well, in the magic of podcast land, no one will ever know.
Podcast land works in mysterious ways, you know?
Indeed.
It does. Eric, again, second shift man right now. He's working away. He'll be back a few weeks, hopefully.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Well, he's
kind of messed
that's
up.
Maybe a bit much.
He's on the DL right now.
Definitely is. But we love him. We miss him. And he's still doing work behind the scenes when he can. He's the order something from workingclassbonner.com. He's the one trying to get the shipment out quick because he's home during the day. So that's working out great for us on that end. So thanks to everyone who ordered something. And if you want a hat, new shirts are coming, get on workingclassbonner.com. That's where all our contact stuff is. Any questions or topics or someone you want to hear on the show, just get on there and shoot us a message.
If you're on workingclassbowhunter.com, go ahead and check out some of our wonderful partners. Go on the partners page, check out Elite Archery, elitearchery.com, hhasports.com,
right.
scentcrusher.com,
Smith's Custom Meats and Deer Processing.
Boom, all right there. Go to workingclassbowhunter.com, find your way to those wonderful sites, go check out their products. If we're using them, you need to. That's all you need to know.
Well, we spend our hard-earned money on it, and we think you should too. If it was, if the product wasn't what we believed in, we wouldn't have them endorse us, or we wouldn't talk about it the way we talk about it, because it's unfair to do that. It's unfair to people who dedicate themselves to our show and listen and put up with us.
Yeah, we're not going to sell you a product we don't believe in. What are we, ShamWow? No, nothing?
No.
All right. All right.
You should edit in like a swing, like a baseball swing. I'm like, Steve, right? Like a straight swing and a miss.
I never thought about that.
Like it's three strikes. Well, all right, let's move on a little bit. Our vet shout out. We're gonna have Jordan do the vet shout out this week.
Yeah, yeah. I was talking to a buddy of mine. His name's Nate Acree, U.S. Army. Just one of the nicest dudes on earth. One of those guys who, if you asked him for like the shirt off his back, he'd give you his shoes too. Just a genuinely good human. Anywho. I wanted to talk about him because his son, Austin, who Steve knows, is in pretty bad need of a kidney right now. And so he doesn't – I asked him if they had like a website or anything. He said they don't, but there's flyers all over the place. So, I mean, if you look it up, I'm sure you can find something on him. But the dad's name is Nate. And then, yeah, his son, Austin, is in really desperate need of a kidney. Just some good people and, yeah, a huge, huge shout out. You know, yeah. Thanks for – It's crazy, right? Like homeboy went and fought and joined the military to protect us. And now, you know, he was there when we needed him. Now he needs something in return. Mm-hmm. So it just makes sense to me.
Yeah. The number one thing is those guys want to make sure everyone's all right. Their family's all right. And their family's in need. So, you know, find out how to get in contact with them. And I actually, you know, before the podcast, we was asking our guest, hey, do you have a vet shout out? And he said, yeah, and he told me the name. And I go, man, that last name's ringing a bell. And he told me the story. And I did stand-up with Austin, and Austin was always one of the greatest guys. He'd be the first guy to shake your hand after, even if he had a bad set, you know, hey, man, great set. Nah, it wasn't that good. Yeah, it wasn't that good, but I love you, Steve, is what he would give me a lot. The fact that, you know, he's ill, we could really step up to the plate, and, you know, his father served for our country, and... Man, I think we can help him out. So that's where I wanted to go with that. Thank you, Jordan, for that shout out. But we're gonna get to you guys here. We're really happy you could come out. It's nice that there's a couple of guys that are local here. You know, we've got Last Breath. You know, Respect the Game, Ross Bigger, and Clark Cummings are local. But we've known you guys personally longer than we've done this podcast. So it's really cool to get with you guys in studio.
I still work with you guys.
Yeah.
Which is funny. At a place that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. It's like look at a hill or.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. I get
Come
that.
On,
I get
dude.
That.
Use a thesaurus. Gander. Look. Hill.
And plus, there's hills on the sign, but the gander sign is coming down.
Oh, is it really?
Is that done?
Has to.
Is all of Gander done? All of it?
No, not all of them. Some of them are getting turned. They're changing it from Gander Mountain to just Gander.
Because yeah,
when
Camping
they bought
World
them,
bought
Camping World bought them. But when they did, they didn't have, I don't know, all that legal mumbo jumbo, but they couldn't use Gander Mountain, but they wanted to like retain that concept. So they're, I don't know. Is the Davenport one, the one near us, is it shutting down?
I think so.
Oh, yeah. It has to be. I was on there. It was like everything was...
30 to 60% off, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I know. I mean, even, I'm not trying to hate at all. At this one, at least, archery-wise, they never had, like, the greatest stuff. You know what I'm saying? They didn't have stuff that I'd be super thrilled about anyway.
It's also a department store, you know?
It kind of is, yeah. I know my hometown, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, theirs is not shutting down at all, and they have one of those giant ones.
It's also Wisconsin.
Yeah, and for everybody not in Wisconsin, it's Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
E-A-U.
Yeah.
Nate technically used to be my supervisor, really. I mean,
yeah, kinda. Nate was your boss. That's so rad.
Yeah.
The boss of bosses.
Yeah. Pretty much were. I was in college and I worked there, so I was pretty much drunk all the time, so it's cool.
Yeah.
He's like...
I think when I was your boss, I was fresh out of college, maybe a few months.
So you were probably the same?
Absolutely.
Hey, can we tell this story? I don't want to interrupt the great flow, but
we're reminiscing.
She was selling her vehicle a couple months back, and you know, she starts telling me about you know, there's a couple guys. She puts the ad on Craigslist, And you know about putting things on Craigslist. You start getting some funny dunnies coming out of the woodwork. Well, she starts, you know, she does a lot of, like, research when she's like, okay, this guy who was who's trying to buy this, his name's Nate. You know, he used to be a running back for St. Ambrose. You know, he seems like a really good guy. And I'm like, all right.
It's looking around like, what?
I'll go take a peek. And she goes, so why don't you go meet him down at Hy-Vee? He's supposed to meet us at 2. I'm like, all right, what's his number? So she's like, here, have it so you have it. And it, what I always do when I get a phone number, I put it in, I save it. All of a sudden, as soon as I dial it, I go, was his last name Conklin? Yeah, how'd you know? Because it's Nate from Whisperwood.
What?
So I thought that was super funny. So I go down to the Hy-Vee parking lot, and I'm like waiting there. It's like getting like 155 close. I'm like, I better call this guy, you know, because like I was in the vehicle that we said was going to sell. So I was like, hey, Nate. And you're like, what's up? I go, Steve. Yeah, I know. You gonna buy an Escape? And he goes, wait, you selling the 06? Yeah. Oh, no kidding, dude. That's nuts. I'm like, yeah, where you at? I'll tell you what, man. I'll be there in like 20 minutes. So I was like, hey, just come to my house, and you end up buying the vehicle.
Yeah, we did. We bought it for my niece, and it's been a great vehicle. The funniest thing I thought about it was, you know, I was texting and, you know, talking to your girlfriend, and then you called, and I was like, wait, what is going on here?
Yeah.
That's, you told me about that. I'm like, what the hell? Like, it's just weird. How did she know you were a running back at Ambrose?
That's a better question. I have no idea.
Because she stalked you.
Yeah, she straight up stalked you. I'm pretty sure she ran a background check.
Yeah, you can say it like clean. Like, oh, she was just checking into your references. No, she straight social media stalked you.
Which isn't a bad thing. Like, if you're a chick selling a car, because we went through this, there's a lot of goofy people out there.
We're talking about selling cars? We're talking about hunting.
Hey. We're just throwing it out there. If you're going to sell archery equipment on Craigslist...
It's a funny story.
Because your Gander Mountain closed, you better check references.
quick.
I just wanted to throw that out there. I thought that was funny.
Changing the game. Since it's been a while since you guys have been on, touch on what Whisperwood Outdoors is.
Jordan, I'll leave that to you.
All right, yeah. So Whisperwood Outdoors, it's just... I mean, you mentioned some, in my opinion, heavy hitters. Respect the Game and Last Breath. I don't think we're on that level on any... Did my mic just go out? Am I good?
No, I don't know.
It kind of sounded weird, right?
I think you turned off.
Oh, my phone didn't get right on the mic.
Too close. Too close.
those are like pros, and we're not there yet. But I've always had a passion for outdoors, hunting, fishing. My dad was never really around, so I learned to fish and stuff on my own, and then hunting was kind of the same deal. And then videography, I just love doing. So we kind of put them together. And the name Whisperwood was a total joke at first. It just drives me crazy when grown men get in a tree in the forest and they start whispering to the camera. And it's so arbitrary because we can see you. You don't have to tell us, like, I'm up in the stand. Like, right. You're on video, yeah. Dude. Like, we get it, whatever. So the name at first was a joke, Whisperwood Outdoors. And then it kind of sounded rad, so we just kept it. And then, the team has varied over the years, but now it's just me and Nate, which is dope because he's a very attractive black man. And so it adds.
Preach, brother.
Oh, is he? Is he now?
That's probably why your old lady looked him up. She's like, he's a running back. He's super hot. I mean, he's a manager at Gander.
He's got money to buy an 06 Ford Escape Seafoam Green.
He's my type of dude. But yeah, man. So Whisperwood, like, we're not trying to be the pros of like the world. One of the things, my passion is when you do video stuff, is tell the story of what you're doing from like start to finish, context, whatever. And some of that story doesn't have to be so friggin' cool all the time.
Right.
You could be an idiot. You could crack a fart or fall down while you're walking through the stupid corn stalks that are still like 18 inches high.
Right.
And you catch your boot all weird and you like slip. I'll put that in the video. I don't care. Or I'll talk about a time where I missed a deer or. Fell in the water while I was setting a hook on a fish. Like, I like that kind of stuff. It's more real, which I think is why half of why y'all are so successful is because you're real people. Like, you're not fake, and I just think that's appealing to people. So yeah, that's kind of our little thing. Our slogan is we fish, we hunt, we film. Like, we're not trying to be like reinvent the wheel, but
people love that, man. And the thing is I feel like you guys should be some of the biggest things around. I love what you guys do. Like, everything, like, Nate's a beautiful man. And you know what's funny?
Attractive black man, I believe.
Let me give some background here. So me and Jordan text on and off fairly often, right? So we don't see each other a lot every now and then, but I assume you guys are always like fishing or filming or whatever, you know, whatever you guys do in your time. So I figure what we kind of talk about, if Nick gets brought up, that Jordan sort of mentions to Nate, like, oh, yeah, me and Kurt kind of mentioned you. And I'm just like, you put out a couple of videos with Nate. I'm like, dude, Nate's so good on camera, and he's just a good-looking dude. Like, it's just – it vibes so well. And so first thing, Jordan gets here.
It's really easy for me to be, like, behind the scenes. Because I don't mind being in front of camera, but I like being behind. I like the production element.
Right.
And when I found out that he was actually good on camera, I was like, oh, perfect. This is dope. But, yeah,
well,
keep going. Sorry.
So I watched the video, and I texted Jordan that. I'm like, Nate's good on camera, like, and he's a good-looking dude. Like, it – and I always say, you know, Ross Bigger, beautiful beard, good-looking man. You can't go wrong with him, you know, whatever. Yeah. Compliments.
Yeah.
So Nate gets here. Nate and Jordan get here before the podcast. I'm like, what's up, man? You attractive black man.
Getting out of my truck.
Like, and he looks at me like, no reaction. And I'm like, well, okay. I probably just offended him. So I'm sitting there. I'm like,
He gets back in the truck.
Yeah. Get us the hell out of here. The guy with hand tattoos called me an attractive black man.
So I'm
what,
like,
are we in prison?
I'm like, oh, okay. Well, he has no idea, or he's weirded out by me now.
Yeah.
And then turns out Jordan never mentioned anything to him about any of this. So then it makes it
so
even
just
more
all
weird.
New and way awkward.
You know what, though? Right. That's not a really bad thing. Like, you know.
It's really weird.
No, but it's not that bad. Like, Steve Austin talks about, you know, when he talked about that Kenny Omega Okada match, you know, the way he always described Okada, it was, yeah, good looking kid.
So you guys like to good fish a lot and hunt. So.
No, we're talking pro wrestling.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm 100% on no idea what
you're
talking about.
He forces wrestling in.
Yeah,
so New Japan.
So everything you guys do, though, really, shout out your website real quick.
Yeah, our website's just whisperwoodoutdoors.com, which we got to revamp for like the new team stuff. But even that same element I was just talking about is on there. Like, it's so stupid. If you go to the link that says team, there's a little thing called build your own Whisperwood team member.
I love that.
Where we took headshots, body shots, and was it just head and body shots? I don't remember.
It's
but
like a grizzly bear. Roll
yeah, there's
through.
A slider where you can pick whose head goes on which body. One's a bass, one's a so buck, awesome. One's a grizzly bear. With like each person's, but we shot it on a green screen. Just, I don't know. Don't take yourself so seriously. Yeah. But yeah, whisperwoodoutdoors.com.
But here's a really good thing about what you guys do. Not only is Nate good looking, but everything that you guys do is good looking. The shirt that Nate had on when he walked up,
it's amazing logo.
That's top 500 shirts I've ever seen in my life. And it's just, you know, you guys have an eye for
Jordan's an artist, man.
Like marketing, like, you know, I kind of like marketing. It's art. Yeah.
Well, let's give some background. Yeah. Let's reel into this. So with Whisperwood, we do a lot of work with you guys, mm-hmm. and we're close. Yeah. We're buddies. I'd say we're partners, you know, in the industry. And like our intro for the show, for the podcast, is recorded by us and thrown together and created by Jordan and the boys at Whisperwood Outdoors. So that's a Whisperwood creative intro.
Mm-hmm.
And Jordan will bounce, ask, hey, what do you want? What do you like? What, you have ideas? And that's a cool thing. Like every now and then, like you have a badass camera in the studio right now. And I just see you filming stuff and I'm like, I don't know what he's filming, but it's going to be cool. So it's just, it's cool that's kind of like our relationship and how we work together, and it's just like the beginning.
Yeah.
So this is like, we're just turning things over into what we're going to create out of whatever we do together, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's for those of anybody who's listening to said podcast right now, I don't know when we're going to put it out, but we just filmed a quick little
promo. Your mic
video.
Is being weird, man. I
should
don't know what.
Should I switch it? What do you want me to?
Maybe tilt it up
tilt
a
it.
Little bit.
Is it? It could just be my voice.
It's that's right annoying. There. You got to stay right there. Yep.
Eric's got a voice that cannot be picked up. It's
oh,
weird,
real?
But now you're good. Now
you can always hear him laughing or cracking a beer open.
Yeah, he cannot be a ghost. Dude, that EVP will not.
Okay,
that's a lot better though. Thank you.
Oh yeah. So I don't know when we're gonna have the video done. It could be done really easy, but we just filmed a video right outside Kurt's house right now, like a little promo video. one of them's like real serious and cool and slow motion, 400 frames a second. And then 400 feet a second. I'm thinking like
hauling
speeds and, yeah. like, and filming. It's all getting mixed up in my brain.
We put a GoPro on a bullet.
Dude, I always wanted to figure out how to put a GoPro on an arrow, which I know obviously it would fall so fast. But right. Even if you got a couple feet of footage that looked natural, or you could be like that dude who threw a spear at a bear. You could put it on that. But I'm not going to bring that up.
So lose your sponsor, cool. But yeah.
That's awesome. That was good, Steve.
Sorry. Yeah. So I just like filming, and I always see, like, the truth is it's 2017. So every human on earth can easily, like the intro that I made for y'all, every human on earth can grab a computer software and make a beat or make music or whatever. Every human on earth can go grab a GoPro and start a YouTube channel and film hunting and film fishing and film their buddies shooting their bow in their backyard. Every time I film anything, and I'm not saying I always succeed because I don't, but I always try and think of it in the terms of, number one, tell the story with it, not just point it and hit record, right, or edit it and just edit up shots. Mm-hmm. And then number two, I try and do it in a way that's a little bit different. It doesn't, you know, I don't have to reinvent the wheel, like I've said, but make it look cool. You know, look, cinematography is filming stuff. So if I film it, I might as well try and make it look cool, not just, right, there's another video of Kurt shooting his bow. There's another video of a attractive black man on a bass boat pulling a 4-pound fish out of, you know, right, whatever, the Mississippi. Like,
when we were just out there, I'm like, well, here's my idea. I'm going to tell you my idea, and I know whatever you're going to do is going to be better. Like, the same way you go to someone that paints, or like a tattoo artist, mm-hmm, is like, I have this idea, but I don't know. I can't envision how it's actually going to turn, yeah, out. It's better if I give you creative freedom and you do your thing, because I trust you.
You literally said that. You said, you know, you're the tattoo artist. I'm the person who has an idea. You need to, for any of you guys out there who are trying to get into the hunting industry, you know, you need to get a producer, cameraman, and you need to let them, mm-hmm, work you. You know, you need to let them guide whatever you're going to do, because they have that art. Now, we talked about it a couple episodes ago. I gave you a shout out, mm-hmm, about, you know, I thought it was really good that
episode.
Yeah.
Which one was it?
The Heartland.
Yeah, it was Sean Luckdell. You know, that's how they got started.
Which is so crazy. How, because that's me. I make snowboard videos, skateboard videos, snowboard, all the stuff that, mm-hmm, I like to do. Yeah,
it relates really well, because, you know, for those average guys who are really into the artsy fartsy type of stuff, they were already seeing some of that really cool footage coming out from skateboard videos. Mm-hmm. You know, from all this, and to bring that into hunting, and you do a very good job of that. You know, you have that skateboard video background, and I'm just as excited to watch whatever you produce, hunting wise. I'm just excited to see it. And when you produce like skateboard videos, like, I know you know a good buddy of mine, John Mahler.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
John's a good homie of mine, yeah, and yeah, I sure love is. Watching everything he does, because it looks good.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a way that you can portray things that even people who don't like hunting. I mean, you go watch the movies. Like, do I think it's cool watching sharks eat people? No. Do I think it's cool when Samuel L. Jackson gets eaten by a giant shark? Yeah, because it was filmed a little better. Yeah, that's a bad example.
Did
but
you just reference Deep Blue Sea?
I had to reference Deep Blue Sea. You like
top
that?
Top 10 worst movies of all time. We're not going to so fight bad. Anymore. I know exactly the part you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. But
you see that, Nate? He referenced a black man getting killed.
And, hey, sorry, first guy. Oh, he wasn't even the first guy to die in that movie.
No way, yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's certain things that
I'm
we
lost
really...
I'm boys. I'm lost.
Hey, there's certain things that we enjoy
He's
watching.
Bring it home. I got confidence
I'm
in just,
Oh, yeah. So it, here. Dude, I'm round, I'm rounding
rounding
third.
Slowly.
I'm rounding third. I'm getting the I'm
He's
getting
doing the worm
home.
From third to home.
He lost gas on that one.
It must have been the second or third take. That's an inside joke. Well, if you're watching, you probably get it. But
we'll have that video done.
I'm checking out.
There's certain things that you can watch in movies that you're really pulled in with. That, again, with skateboarding, things like that. Do I necessarily know everything that's going on? No, but can I watch it because it's visually good? Yes, and I think you guys do a really good job of hunting and fishing doing that. That's one of the, I think, the key components to bringing new audiences in, saying, look, you know, you may not know anything about this, just what you hear in the headlines, but you need to check this out to see what really goes on.
Yeah.
And there's a couple guys that are out there doing that
basically
right
what
now,
Steve's
but
saying,
you guys are doing it good.
Saying which what I'll put input is, and is like, you put a clip up of Nate catching a bass and pulling the bass onto the boat the other day.
Good looking guy,
was,
yep.
That's simply what you were doing, but it was so entertaining the way it was filmed and edited and just done that it's just like, it's mesmerizing in a way.
Yeah.
And it's...
Appreciate that.
It's perfect for social media to where it wasn't this long, drawn-out thing like a Steve story, but it was like... Right to the meat and taters and what you need to see as you're scrolling through.
Oh, speaking of taters, no cleavage.
To where if I share something, like say I share your your video,
mm-hmm.
someone can scroll through, like, and share it and appreciate it and through their scrolling, which
what
is...
What's that? This is going to sound weird at first. What's that movie? My brain is not working. That Leonardo DiCaprio won the Oscar for? You know what I'm talking about? The one where he's he gets mauled by that bear?
Oh.
Come on. You guys know what I'm talking
about.
Yeah.
The Reverend? Movies, man. Was it The Reverend?
It's not Reverent, is it?
Pretty sure it is.
No, that's not the right word.
The
Revenant.
The Revenant, yeah.
The Revenant, okay.
Revenant. Anyway, that movie, if you haven't seen it, you would like it, actually, Kurt. It's just the way that it's filmed. So the guy who directed that movie is just ridiculously intelligent and just whatever. This is unheard of. He didn't use any lights for that entire movie. None. Everything is natural light lighting. So the way that it looks, just to, even if you don't care about movies or the theme of that movie, just the way it looks is so engaging.
Okay, now I'll have to watch it.
Going back to when we were filming
in it too. A lot of hunting.
Really?
Yeah.
Going back to when we were filming, Jordan was like, "Dude, we need to film right now. This lighting is too good. We need to hit it right now." Again, guys who are out there, you know, you can't just take cell phone videos, you know, in the cab of a truck. You know, you really have to sit there and listen to the guy who's getting ready to film you, you know?
Right. It's more of a process that needs to be stepped out than something you can do quick.
You got to let the experts be experts in what in the field that they're doing. You know, you kill the deer, you let the person take care of the filming. You know what I mean?
Well, how about this, though? In the marketing world, so I do some marketing outside of this. Like, I'm doing a marketing project with the state of Wisconsin and some other stuff, which is really fun. And I'm so green. I'm just figuring that stuff out. Anywho, there's a marketing rule for websites. They say now, it changes all the time. It used to be 10. Now they say it's closer to 6 seconds. If somebody lands on your website, you have 6 seconds to grab them before they go to another website. Ooh. 6 seconds. Which, if you think about it, is probably accurate if you're an iPad, your phone, whatever. If it's lame, you're out of there. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's the same thing on video. If somebody clicks on your video and it just looks crappy, they're gone. And chances are they're probably not coming back.
That's got to be right.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's exactly what you did with that little clip of, you know, us out filming for Denali the other day.
Shout out Denali Rods.
It didn't just grab the audience of fishing or the audience of the outdoors. It grabbed anybody who's into photography or videography or anybody of the nature. You know, it was quick, it was fast, it was perfect. I mean, it was one of those shots that you have an eye for, and that's why I'm happy to be a partner of yours.
For sure.
Can I reference pro wrestling in this?
No.
Because I'll tie it in a hunting show.
I can't do another pro. You used yours already, dude.
Because this is a really good point.
You have like a one reference rule.
Yeah.
It's a one reference. Man, this is a really good point, but we'll move on.
One thing I want to ask you guys both is, and we'll start with you, Nate, is do you think that the internet hunting and fishing shows is the future of this industry versus Dish networks and stuff? Is that where obviously you guys are, what are you aiming for? Like, where do you want to be? Is it internet only, you think? Do you think that's the future of this industry we're all in a weird way?
I personally think that's that's the peak of everything, you know, is to make it to mainstream television.
It's like the epitome, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's got to find a starting point, you know, mm-hmm. where they make a base, and that's what the internet has brought. It's fantastic for that.
Do you think that idea of mainstream media, like the epitome, that's the big thing we've made it? Do you think that's kind of a fading out thing, though, with what's happening with My Outdoor TV and Carbon TV and all these online streaming type Netflix sort of channels?
You know, it may be fading a tad, but it's something that's always going to be there. You know, mm-hmm. it'll always be around, and it, like you said, it will always be the epitome. You know, that's the top of the line. It's the Cadillac.
Right.
Right. I think that, can I?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I, in my opinion, the giant differentiator there is that for the internet, any, like I said before, anybody can just grab something and be like, "Yo, I make a hunting show. Check out my website." That doesn't. When you're good enough at whatever it is you're doing, that you're recruiting people sort of naturally who are like, "Man, I like what you're doing to the point where I want to put you on TV and pay for it for you. I want to pay you for commercial spots." To me, even past like the buy-in, because I don't know how they quantify it, if there's some way of tracking how many people watch it online outside of just hits versus TV ratings. Like, if one, maybe online might be bigger, because if you're sleeping on carbon TV at this point, like, you're just asleep.
Yeah, really.
Right. I mean, really, like, it's so awesome. Like, you can, like, if you work a retail job, if you're not spending your 15 minutes on carbon TV, like, I mean, it's just so easy to go through so many sharp things, whatever.
Right.
But with a TV show, to actually say that, like, to me, that has way more weight. Like, if I go, I don't know, Christmas with my wife's family, and there's some uncle there who I've never met, and he's like, "What do you do?" And I'm like, "I produce an internet TV show." What, he's going to be like, "Neat." If I'm like, "Yo, right, I have a TV show every Sunday from this time to this time," like, that's, you know what I'm saying? That's just, yeah, that's just,
maybe that generation
sounds more substantial. I don't know.
But maybe the generation hasn't caught up yet. And
One thing, I don't know if you guys are, maybe you are aware. Did you know that most of the outdoor shows, and maybe it's not still this way, but last time I knew, is all those shows that are on Outdoor and Sportsman Channel, all those other networks, are paying to be on those channels. The Outdoor TV network works a little different than, like, Discovery or like History or whatever other channel
it
might
be. It depends. I actually do have some knowledge of that, because we were offered a TV show, Whisperwood was, 3 years ago on, of all channels, CW. So it was like Gilmore Girls, Whisperwood TV,
Arrow.
Yeah,
really?
Flash. Yeah, yeah. And
that billboard is
they
still.
They were gonna charge us. I can't remember what it was. It wasn't that much. It wasn't some exorbitant. It was like amount of money. It was like $600 an episode. So what you obviously do is you sort of, in the right way, sort of prostitute out the show to your sponsors. Hey, Scent Crusher, Elite, Denali Rods, Fish 30 Acre, whomever. Dude, we're doing this show, and for just $100, you can have a 30-second spot. But if you have 12 30-second spots, then all of a sudden you're making $600 per show. Do you follow me?
For sure.
Yeah.
So even the outdoor shows, a lot of those guys do that. But like,
yeah.
And you set your own rate. So if you think you're great enough, like, that's the whole thing behind artistic endeavors is, yo, get what you're worth. Like, that's like an old adage. Like, get what you're worth. So if I'm worth $30 per video that I make, then that's all I'm going to get.
Right.
If I'm Gucci and I'm making the same purse as everybody else, but I can charge $1,000 and get it, well then, man, good on you. Get $1,000
for sure.
You know, I thought you were talking about the rapper.
That's a very good point.
Gucci Mane. If I put Gucci Mane ice cream tattoo on my face and says Bird,
to be fair, he is a clone right now. He's not the real rapper.
That proves that you have a. I mean, that's the way the industry works. Yeah. You know, you got it. That's the way you have it figured out. It's like how I moved right past him.
You didn't even slip on the clone thing. Like, you didn't even hear it.
No. All right, so. With the knowledge that you guys got going on,
Steve's worse when he knows people that are actually here personally. And
he gets a little more comfy.
And get away with it.
Yeah, because we're like homies, so he doesn't care.
Yeah, with knowing what you guys have got going on, you know, what has changed in the dynamic for you guys as far as what you want to accomplish now? You know, obviously things flipped within the past like 3 years. You know, the CW is still on TV, but nobody's watching TV anymore.
Yeah.
Where has your focus gone? Like, where are you trying to go? You know what I mean? Or you don't have to give away all your secrets.
If it's too deep, or go anywhere. You can just do what you want and have fun.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at with it. Like, I'm kind of on some, I want to kill this, like, exactly how I see it. It's the same reason why a lot of musicians don't sign record deals anymore, because they know when they do, then the suits come in and say, all right, you got to pump out this many songs with this direction and this producer. And they're like, what happened when I made music the way that I wanted to? Mm-hmm. So, like, for Whisperwood, I want to kill it. And if somebody comes to me and says, man, you guys are doing really well, we'd like to, you know, kind of link up with you, I'd be like, yeah, man, you can jump on our journey with us, but I'm not changing who I am for what you're doing. So I mean, if someone came along with like the right TV deal or distribution deal, or if you know, somebody with like a really dark goatee who poaches elk was like, dude, come hunt with me, you know, I could say no, you're a dirtbag. Right. But I could say yes to someone else.
Right. You know? Right. No, I hear you, man. I hear you.
Sorry.
Opinions on that,
dude? Come on, man.
Mr. Busbus.
Come on, dude. First off, can we just talk about the fact that he talks really weird? Like he frequents like.
He what?
Frequents like Novocaine or something.
Said frequents.
Yeah, that's like a artsy way of saying it. I like to frequent the Novocaine shots around my mouth. Like he just sounds like he's got a mouth full of marbles all the time.
No, I don't get what you're talking about. Explain more.
Yes, you do. I think he may like the spirits frequently.
Yeah. Which spirits? The Holy Spirit?
I guess it depends on what. What you call it?
Red spirits, white spirits. Like, what
I was thinking like gin clear. Yeah, like you know, like when it's bright outside at night and the moon is shining. I feel like some type of that in a clear mason jar while hunting, which seems like a terrible combination.
You know,
that's how you really feel.
I can't disagree with you.
What me and Nate, we were talking about this on the way over. The thing that drives me bananas about it is, to me,
99 like, bananas.
Come on, Steve, with all the right, references, all right, son. All right, come
on. Let's move on from that.
The thing that drives me the most bananas about it is like, yo, dude, you made a mistake.
Oh, no.
It happens. Like, everybody makes a mistake. Like, yeah. And even like if you made a mistake with, I don't know, let's say like in Wisconsin on certain lakes, we have slot limits for walleye. So you can only keep one between this inch, but not that inch, and only one at this size, and you go over by a half inch. Dang it, I messed up. You know, whatever. Like, be honest about it. But the fact that if you read the articles, he shot a cow and then said on film, oh, we got to get rid of that cow. Like, dude, if you made a mistake, man up, call the DNR, be like, they might still fine you. They might still something, but at least they're going to be.
Right.
You don't know, like, to me, everybody makes a mistake. You're a man in how you deal with it. Not, you know, no man is perfect.
You got to own it, man.
Golly.
Got to own what you do.
And it just looks so bad for us that somebody that big, with that much money, with that much, what's the word, influence over the industry is doing that. We don't need to put another gun in the clip of the anti-hunting world
for sure.
You know, oh, so you mean you the this, magazine?
Like, and the thing is, last
I'm kidding, I'm giving you a hard time.
But you know what I'm saying? Like
last episode, yeah. We did. We talked about this. Basically, it was a whole episode talking about that situation, and it was a good way to look at it. Is we probably talked about it too long, and that is basically enlightening a negative type of thing.
Yeah.
And but also I feel like it's something that needs discussed, and we have to talk about it.
What do you think, beautiful Nate?
Are you going to respond to that without even saying anything?
You're better just move past it, man.
It's hard to. It's hard to respond after that. I blush every time, honestly.
You make a black man blush. You're doing nervous. Something, dude.
Yeah, he's light skinned. You can kind of see it.
Purdy. That's what that
Purdy.
That
for caramel. Caramel.
No, but in all seriousness, it's something that's completely unjust. I mean, it's just terrible. It really is. Mm-hmm. That it puts a dark cloud over the industry, like Jordan said. It sour taste in anybody's mouth who, you know, is thinking about creating something, you know, kind of like we are, you know, a TV mm-hmm. show or internet, whatever, you know. It just,
yeah,
what do you do? This is one of the guys that you kind of looked up to, you kind of idolized, you know, you want to do something similar. And now it's.
Yeah, because you guys are trying to make your own thing. Like, how do you move past this?
Well, the thing is, well, you know what I mean? Is this is a not a good thing. It's a, I don't know how to go approach this, what I'm trying to say. It's a thing that's good for people that are doing it for all the correct reasons to get more. It just brings them to light a little more, like the Whisperwoods, like the Working Class Bow Hunter, like the Last Breath TV, the Whitetail Experience, the people from the Virtue, Respect the Game. People are in it because they're passionate about it and do it for the real reasons. They're not doing it for money. They're not doing it for attention. It's just, you know what I mean?
It can be in a weird way. It can be sort of galvanizing. Like, it can kind of toughen up and harden the people who are doing it right to keep doing it right. Like, I don't want to be
stay ethical.
I don't want to be the next bus. Really, I don't want to be that guy. Like, I better keep my nose clean and do this the right way.
For sure.
And it's polarizing, you know? Like, we were talking about this beforehand, saying how either A, was the cameraman super freaked out, like, oh my gosh, dude, what are you doing? Like, you just shot an animal that you don't have a tag for, whatever. Or was it B, yo, this is just This normal. Is just how we do. This is normal. Whatever, and that's even scarier thought.
Filming on a Wednesday,
and I don't want to vilify them any more than we have to, because that's
right.
Just speculation.
We can move right past this right now.
But that, you know, who knows, man? That's
for sure.
How many times did he do it and got away with it? Which is kind of scary.
That being said,
let's change gears.
Well, I was going to. So,
let's talk about wrestling, Steve.
Yeah, let's talk about pro wrestling, so, Kurt.
Talking about that, what? What's something you'd like to see happen to the industry? Like, you know what I mean? From here on out, after this situation with the industry, because it kind of broke the hunting internet industry in a way. So what do you do from here? What would you guys like to see happen with the industry as a whole, whether or not it's even legal issues or just in the creative side of it, or what you'd like to see as physical content or anything really at all?
Okay, so let me answer it like this. I'm not a sycophant, which means somebody who just gets better at stuff by sucking up. That's not me. Mm-hmm. But I would actually like to see the industry as a whole move more towards y'all's model. Normal dudes, down to earth, doing it right. Like, I'm sick of the Huntress Barbies, honestly. Like, and I don't wish them any ill will. First off, I think the word Huntress is just stupid.
We're all hunters. We're all family together,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, we hunt. Let's hunt. What? You're a girl? Awesome. I'm a dude. Great. Let's just hunt. We don't have to be. Yeah,
please don't shut down your Instagrams after hearing this, because I need something to look at.
No, please
but
do.
But continue.
But I would just like to see people do it for the right reasons. Like for me, it's a little bit different, because my dad, growing up, I referenced it earlier, was I didn't say this part, but he was a pretty heavy alcoholic, in and out of rehab, whatever. So he got me fishing at a young age, but never anything bow hunting. I figured out on my own. Mm-hmm. And that feeling of being in the stand, of setting up a stand, cutting lanes, all that good pre-war, you know, spraying down a clover field, it just feels awesome.
Right.
And I'd like to see more people in the industry get to that, like the right reasons, not stupid gimmicky
attention
calls where you bury the tube for the call in the ground and it comes back up on the other side. Like, that's just so dumb. Like, knock
it
off.
Right.
You don't need to be wearing, you know, little teeny booty shorts to check a trail cam, because even on a practical level, like, the deer are patterning you now because they can smell your Victoria's Secret fruit spray from a mile off.
Man, you are like, saying, I've said this type of stuff on the podcast,
and I don't hate them.
So
I would just like it to see, like, I don't know anything about motocross racing. I know nothing, but I would like motocross racing to be done by motocross racers who love motocross racing. I would like hunting and fishing shows to be done by people who just love hunting. Like,
yeah.
I would like it like this is the real statement right here. If tomorrow they shut down Whisperwood Outdoors for whatever reason, I'm still going to be in a tree stand. I'm still going to be on a bass boat. I'm not doing it for the props and the kudos and the Facebook likes. You know?
For sure.
And that's what I would like to see.
This is the passion right here.
Sorry.
This guy.
Yeah. I would just like to see that. Like if I can shut down Respect the Game on TV right now and he keeps hunting, dude, that's so much respect. You're not doing it for the the TV props and the commercials and you know what I mean?
100%.
Yeah.
Dude,
I mean, if you're going to do the booty shorts, just like Snapchat us or whatever. Yeah, I don't put it on Instagram.
but
I think you want Nate to do the booty shorts. Is what it feels like.
Oh, for sure. But no, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
But no, Jordan, what you said, I said, I don't know how many times I've said that on the podcast. I always feel like I'm hammering that home too much, maybe, but it's refreshing to hear you say almost word for word what I've said for so long.
At the same time, I want to put balance on it, because I have no, like, ickiness in my, this may sound weird, in my heart for them. It's not like when I see on, you know, whatever, some girl trying to post some goofy thing about checking trail cams that I'm like, ugh, I wish you'd get in a car accident. You know, it's nothing like that.
No,
it's just
no.
I just don't like it. I just think it's stupid.
You just want what you're passionate about, everyone else to be passionate about.
And I have
about.
Three daughters, and the one daughter, Kennedy, who's seven, who I took hunting with me, like, she's not getting in my truck to go check a trail cam 10 years from now with booty shorts on. That's not happening ever.
Right.
And I don't want her to think that's what's okay. Like, that's like what it should be. I don't want that.
Right.
So.
Well, it's just like, you look at it different. And if I had daughters, I'd look at it different as well. Is what's their role model going to be like?
Exactly.
You know, and you're going to have people 100% agreeing with us, and you're going to have people being on the fence, like, you're going to have the dudes going, oh, I'm looking at it, though, which, whatever, that's fine.
Steve.
But,
no,
yeah. Steve. And
I
then,
agree.
But really, though, is when you have a something that you feel so passionate about and something you hold so dear to your heart that you just want to see it done right and done for the right reasons. And it is kind of heartbreaking to me to see like, you know, we talked about this Bill Buzbus thing a lot, and it's sad, man. It bums me out that people do that type of shit. And I, if I could eliminate it completely, I would, obviously I would, but it's, obviously he's doing it for the wrong reason. He's caught up in the hunting media of it. And honestly, I don't care if he ever hunts again after this.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Well,
you saw the fine on it. Like the $23,000, to me, he probably had that in his wallet, whatever.
Yeah. Well, suspended jail sentence, which we said, white guy, suspended probation, or unsupervised
probation. But the big thing was he got blackballed in 43 states for 2 years to hunt or fish, including Louisiana, where he's from.
So yeah, like, I thought it was like 45.
But the thing is, it was 45. Hey, I need to make this point. It could be by the time this podcast comes out, whenever it may be, and whatever news comes out in the 3 hours of whatever last article came out about this, things could completely flip-flop.
Oh, absolutely.
And we could sound like we don't know what we're talking about. Or we need to make that point because things change so crazy. Mm-hmm. And what's the story now might not be the story in 6 hours.
Exactly.
And you're going to have another article come out that contradicts everything you just said. And if it does, it whatever. But as of right now...
But you know what's neat, that's though? Right. You know what's really neat about the time we live in, 2017? Is like right now, if I wanted to, on my phone, I could jump on the Whisperwood Instagram or whatever, and I could like live stream this. Like, how cool is it?
Yeah.
I haven't really seen it. I'm sure it's happened already for sure. But how cool is it, like, I shoot a buck this year, and I can like live stream it, so everybody gets to experience like that seeing the buck down for the first time together. So some of the stuff that just gets blown up, like, because part of what you're saying with the news media is through social media, it spreads like fire, just instantly out of control. Sure. But it can also be a really cool positive thing too. You know, you see people, like I said, finding a deer or live streaming from a boat or doing little how to's on how to tie specific, you know, knots and fishing. And
I want to change it up a little bit. This is for both of you guys. Would you rather catch the fish of your dreams or kill the animal of your dreams with your bow?
Dang.
Because you guys are deeply passionate about fishing, more than we are, obviously, and more than probably a lot of people are. So people got to understand that balance. So that's why we asked that question.
Nasty Nate, I think you're first up to bat.
It's funny because, you know, the adrenaline rush, the shake that you feel is very similar, but I think something about being 20 feet up in the air kind of makes it a little bit different.
Totally different.
When your knees start getting weak after you know, let that arrow go and you're shaking and breathing hard and you can't control it, you know. Honestly, I haven't caught a giant bass yet, so I can't say exactly how it compares, but... You know, I guess in the same way, I haven't shot a giant buck either. So I would say, you know, something about being in that tree is
right.
It's insane. You know,
is it something about maybe the, and I don't know, I like bow hunting. I grew up doing more bow hunting than I did fishing, but it just seems more like the size of the animal and like the closeness with the arrow maybe adds to that a little bit, or
all of it. I mean, every bit, you know, being cold, you know,
right?
Not knowing if you'll have the strength to draw
the
your
suffering
bow.
Of it makes
exactly.
The,
you know, I love it when people say crap like, "I love late season bow hunting." No, you don't. I mean, you can, but on a level, you do. But you know what I'm talking about? Right. When you're a 7 hour sit with nothing moving,
right? Freezing toes,
and you're just hurting.
Oh, well, let's say live in Louisiana, like, then you know, they love late season.
I got 15 minutes left in me, and then 15 minutes go by. All right, I got another 15 in me. Like you're trying to like.
Parcel
it
as far out
because it hurts so bad. But
what about you, Jordan?
Yeah, we got.
What did you pick?
Honestly, you know, being more of a fisherman, I still think I'm gonna have to go with bow hunting. You know, shooting a buck. It's crazy. It is, but I just look back to the, you know, the deer I shot a couple of years ago. The feeling I got when I was in the tree, thinking I'm gonna fall out, thinking I'm gonna faint.
Right.
You know? Yeah, you feel like something's wrong with you.
I saw a horse kick, but was it a good shot? I think my eyes were closed. I might have been looking, you know, I have no idea. It was just a great feeling, you know, and it is every time.
It's a puzzle piece of like emotions and
absolutely.
Just things happening so right.
What about you, Jordan?
Like that kid on Heartland Bowhunter a few years ago. I cannot remember his
love
name.
That. He drops that big buck.
Yeah, and he spines him. It's kind of a bad shot, but he knows he put him down and he just loses it.
I love
that. I make fun of it all the time because he hunts on the same land as I do. Luke Bryant. Is it Bryant?
I think it's Des Bryant.
Is it?
No, it's 100? Brian.
I think it's Brian. I don't think there's a T.
No T.
Yeah. But anyway, that one video, so. The Izzy Down video, you know, the Izzy Down? Izzy Down, Hunter? Hunter, Izzy Down? Izzy.
Yeah.
And like, I can make fun of it, but in that moment, your brain just doesn't work. Doe, buck, whatever. Okay, so the psychological answer to your question, right, is it's a matter of seeing. Because with fishing, you don't see it. So you don't really know what you're casting for, hooking into. When you feel a good tug on your line, you don't know, is it a bass, is it a pike, is it a godforsaken grass carp or a drum or something stupid. Whereas right. when the deer comes in, the anticipation builds as he gets closer and closer to where you can actually stick him.
Right.
So it's just, to me, it's like the sight thing. Like the sight, not seeing of fishing is really exciting. The seeing part of bow hunting is unbelievably exciting. But without a doubt, though, I mean, if we're talking like cover of magazine status, I would for sure say just a giant whitetail.
Okay, now let me hit you with this question.
Just a freak, non-typical, weird-looking thing.
I'm gonna go back real quick, though, and just talk about, you know, the other day when we were out filming for the shot we did with Denali. Jordan had an absolute roller coaster of emotion when he hooked into a 5-pounder. So I'm not 100% sure he's going with bow hunting.
Okay, 30 seconds. Can I take 30 seconds?
Yeah.
The story Nate was getting broke off all day. For anybody who's listening who I won't waste too much of your time because I know it's bow hunting. But Nate was getting broken off all day by northern pike. They're fish with big teeth, and they miss the lure sometimes because they're just stupid aggressive. And so at one point, he's retying, and we're fishing a flooded area of the Mississippi where there's usually a seawall, and it kind of flooded over. So I'm like, all right, let me get on the trolling motor. You retie. And I'm like, I want to flip into this little area where it's just the chance of a fish being in there are 1 in 100. And Nate goes, flip in there, catch a 5-pounder, sort of joking. And I flipped in there, which means like a certain style of casting. Mm-hmm. And I caught a 5-pounder, and it was like, I hooked into it, and I thought I was snagged, and then it jumped. I'm like, oh god, it's a giant! And then Nate's like, oh my gosh! I'm like, look at him, it's a giant! Oh, and we both get down on our knees to try and grab him because we don't use a net, and we're both afraid he's gonna fall off. And it just, the whole thing was super exciting.
Oh yeah, and Nate, you were filming that with that expensive camera that's at his knees, huh?
Exactly.
You gotta be careful with that bad boy.
Let me ask you two questions. One is, what would be like the equivalent in the bass world to a 200-inch whitetail?
Ooh,
15 plus maybe.
They get that big?
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the world record. What's the world record?
23 and change.
22.8, so, something like that.
So, like, 15's the 200-incher, so those are not super common, but...
I mean, not never, but they're super...
But you know a guy who's
going... That's got to be pretty close. 200-inch, like a 15-pounder?
I would say.
Comparatively speaking, like, when you see it on, like, a magazine, you're like, good golly.
I look at it like this. You know, Iowa, Illinois, you know... These states are known for big deer. You know, that's what we're known for is, you know, 160s and up. You know, we're known for big body, big antler deers.
Right.
And it's kind of, you know, that's kind of the story down south with bass, you know. So
Where's the big bass state?
Well, hold on. So is like a 5-pounder like a 140, 150-inch deer?
Yeah.
Locally, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. You stick a 5-pounder and it's like, oh, man. Like when I put that picture on my personal Instagram, everybody was like, oh, my gosh.
Good,
you
know, solid, like, yeah, big really bass. Bass. Just like a 150, 140, 150 is like good, solid, big
bass. Yeah, not necessarily like end of the
super
world.
Super freak.
But yeah, you'd be. Like, but yeah, like you wouldn't, like, you know, it's not really an option in fishing, but you wouldn't really pass on a 5-pound bass. You know, yeah, like right. You see that. Two and a half year old.
Yeah. In that same sense, in, you know, let's say Florida or Texas or, you know, Alabama.
That so the high fence lakes exactly is where you're fishing. Yeah.
that 5-pounder is, you know, real similar to, you know, a 130. You know?
Yeah. Right.
Good.
Right.
You but see not
and you
all
pass,
that crazy. Yeah, you pull it out the way and people are like, oh, nice fish.
Yeah. Exactly.
You pull a 5 like here and it's like, whoa.
Warmer weather areas.
It's warmer weather, different strain. You know, it's a different strain of bass. That's a whole nother thing. Okay. Though, so
it's like in the South how they'll have deer that are 200 pounds with a 90-inch rack.
It's
just a different.
Sure.
So okay, going back to whitetails, you guys, I catching you guys both pick the whitetail over like your dream fish.
And I want to shoot something just dumb looking,
right,
double drops, gnarly. Canoe like a canoe paddle on one side.
So would you rather have? Horn. If you're in 20 foot up in a tree stand with your bow and that deer is going to come right down the trail, you're wanting them to come down. The one you've been staring at all morning or all afternoon, whatever it may be.
That spot that you have it,
that spot you envision. Would you rather have that deer surprise you and start in at 30 yards and come into you, or would you rather watch them from 200 yards?
That's a good one.
Go ahead, take it.
Okay, so from the videography side, unequivocally, I mean, you know, when, sorry, I use like big words, to leave no doubt. I would want it from further away, so, cuz most of the time I'm which sucks. Anybody who is listening right now, can I get some sort of like amen in your truck? It's the worst when you're trying to self-film. Self-filming seems like a good idea, but it sucks. Especially when something big comes in and you're trying to make sure it's in frame, ready, plus you're ready to shoot, and like, ugh. Right. So yeah, if he came from further away, then I'd be more prepared, but I'd also, you know, I'd wet my scent blocker pants.
Right, right.
But
what's up, Nate?
Yeah,
you're on deck.
I'm gonna say, you know, I want it to come. I want it to get right upon me before I notice it. If I watch it come in from, you know, 100, 200 yards,
yeah.
I'm going to absolutely lose it.
Fall apart.
I'm going to melt in the tree stand.
I think I'd still melt, but at least I'll have a chance to film him too.
Right? I think some of that has to do with personally my experience. You know, I don't bow hunt near as much as I fish, and yeah. I think it's something that's I'm hoping is going to change here real soon. You know, it's a passion. You know, it's something that, you know, I've done now over the last few years, and I absolutely love it. It's phenomenal feeling. Like I said, that feeling in the tree. You know,
yeah. So speaking of which, you know, you guys are hunters and fishers. Which would you rather break in, a brand new rod or a brand new bow?
I'd say fishing rod is 10 times easier, because in fishing, it's such a different dynamic. Like, if you're really into fishing, people who don't know anything, they don't usually call them rods. They call them poles, and it's whatever. But they're like, oh, I got a new pole. And that's like their one pole. For fishing, I have four different rods specifically for flipping, like 7'6" extra heavy with 60-pound braid. I have three or four crankbait rods from 6'8" to 7'6" medium action, like with a real flexible backbone for hook sets. Like, you have really specific action specific rods. So for that, it's like, yo, if I just pick up a crankbait, I know what rod, even if it's brand new, I can use. With a bow, dude, all the dialing in and the adding your stuff on it, like, we're sponsored by Stokerize stabilizers, and like, they're awesome, but you kind of got to set them up. You don't just, it's not just plug and play. Yeah, like, you got to get the weight shifted right.
Most stabilizers are that way.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Almost all
yeah,
of them
you,
are.
Well, true, yeah. You really, I mean, a lot just, of you just screw them on. They're like, yeah, good enough. But game, yeah, you should too.
You really could have just said, hey, Steve, that question sucked.
No, because a lot of people don't know it.
Well, the game changes when you do stabilizers, like,
oh yeah,
you know, Steve is, you're absolutely fucking horrible at setting up a stabilizer. The stabilizer you have now on your bow is awful.
I love that thing.
it is not balanced. It
feels really good to me, though, and that's the most important thing. It feels really good to me.
But you're wrong.
If it could be better, though, yeah, if you could be a little
you're
more
wrong, though, like, physically, stable, the setup, balanced, as far as, like, physically and, like, balanced and how it should be set up, it's, like, the complete opposite.
Yeah,
I
think I'm going to need to throw a back bar on, but
you're
going to
throw
I
a
like
back
it
bar on and a
oh,
whole
lot
have,
of
you
don't
stuff
have anything on the back at all?
It's
no, nothing.
This thing's awful. I'm
but
sorry.
It feels to, but I mean, it does feel
honestly,
so much
it,
better.
It's a
it
dish feels with all the weights on one side, and you pick this thing up, and it
just flips
falls
over.
Oh, no. You haven't seen it recently. Me and Dirty Doug were shooting. I ended up moving a couple weights around.
Like
to
I
it
told
feels
you
even
to,
better,
probably.
Well, yeah, and then I, you know, just feeling it out.
When
I
you had it at the
around
shoot, because I haven't shot with you since before I left for California for work. I picked that thing up. I'm like, dude, you are just you were. It'd be like taking a race car and putting diesel in it. Like a gasser and putting diesel in it and
I'll tell you what,
trying to race it down the track. It's like, you should get so much more out of this bow.
It feels really good, though.
I hope it does.
I bet if I put a back bar on it, it would feel even better. But where it's at now, it does feel really good. And that's the most important thing. Hey, we preach that.
Hey, you do what's right, but I'm just telling you. The way it felt before I left, I'm like, yeah, God almighty, just fix it.
Yeah, when you hold good up like a balanced bow in your hand, and it just, right, it almost, I don't know what you even call it, like when it sits in like the little pocket of your thumb and your pointer finger, and it just sits there, like,
okay,
you don't even have to do anything.
Have
it's a balanced
Kurt's bow?
And the balance just feels so nice.
Have you felt Kurt's bow?
I mean, I held it for a second tonight, yeah.
Okay, what'd you think?
I thought it felt really good. Do you not think it feels
why are you
good
trying to shit on me out of nowhere? Like, my bow's all on balance and stuff.
I mean, I didn't shoot all it or anything.
I played with
good
my back
like
bar.
When I first picked it up, I wasn't like, eh. You know, it wasn't like
I played with my back bar and messed with it, and I added weight where it needed to be. I don't know why you're trying to come at me from left field, son.
Hey, because he came at me with a crazy right slap hook.
I bet you 15...
like four times.
15, 20...
four times.
15, 20 people probably picked up your bow at the shoot. They're like, Steve, man, play with this thing.
Yeah, and the top five who were like, man, that's good, shot top five. That's all I got to say.
I don't know where your heads are right now. I think I slapped you retarded, son.
Yeah, whatever. I do enjoy how it feels.
We got to get that video done so people can have any idea what we're talking about.
Yeah, I slapped more wrestling references back into you after that. No.
What did you call it? A potato?
Oh, yeah, throwing potatoes.
Yeah.
That's a real hit. Like, if you're going to match and someone hits you with a real shot, that's a potato. They're throwing potatoes at you.
Yeah, so to that point, Sean, the guy who I don't think he owns Stoker Eyes. He's just like the main guy who runs everything. And I'm not saying this because they're a sponsor. He's just so on point. So I used to have a Expedition bow, and it had like green whatever on it. And so I had him put like the green logo on it's called the Carbon Stasis. Mm-hmm. So like it's not a sticker on there. It's some like etching that they put on it. So when I got my new bow with red accents, I was like, hey, how much would it cost me to whatever? He goes, just send it to me. I'll take care of it, which is, you know, just a good dude. Anywho,
right.
He walked me through how to really like balance it and make sure, because it's a one piece, but it's got like the little elbow on it, you know? Right. So it has, man, when you pick up my bow, it just feels so right in your hand. Like it just feels like it's supposed to sit how it's supposed to sit. Like it's not all out of tipping forward or flipping sideways. It just sits so...
It's good.
It makes it so easy.
It helps so much when you shoot, too, because it's not causing any torque anywhere trying to level it out.
You're not torquing over your... like twisting it all up, trying to keep it straight. And
for sure.
Yeah,
I think, you know, with that being said, the proof is in the pudding, as they say. Anybody who hasn't seen our giveaway video, go watch it. I had never picked up Jordan's bow since he had that new stabilizer on it. Never shot it. And, you know, I put a couple arrows in a target from 90 yards, which was insane.
With no warm-up shots.
Yeah, no warm-up, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Picked up his bow, two arrows in a target at 90 yards. It was ridiculous.
Tuned in where it needs to be, man. Yep. I mean, once it's
And that's
it's
that HHA, pocket. Too. I'm not just trying to blow them up, but that I didn't mess with that sight forever. You know, I didn't mess with it since fall, like just goofing around, and it was still just
rock solid.
Yeah.
Rock solid. Just, I've beat the hell out of my HHA. I remember... What was it this season? Put my new sight on, new sight tape, all tuned in, pulling it up the tree, and it's actually the stand I cut my buck out of. Off of, I don't know what, windy, bad luck, I don't know what it was, off every single tree step and limb, and I'm like, this thing's just going to be tore up. And, you know, I get it up and I give it a little shake and kind of like pull it one way, make sure nothing loosened up, and rock solid, man.
Yeah, they're built well.
And I got to say, it holds up to moisture and rain. Mine's not all rusty after like the first season, you know, when all your hardware gets all nasty and just little spots get rusty and used looking. Mine looks pretty good.
I'll tell you, man, the proof is in the chocolate pudding. Feel me?
Absolutely.
All right, it's time to wrap this up. Oh, my gosh. Time to wrap this up. Steve's loose this episode, boys and girls.
All right, it's good, though.
You guys got anybody to shout out quick? Where can people find you? Any of that?
Yeah, just look. I mean, check us out online, man. We're like I said, we're not trying to be anything we're not. Like, we're not pros. It's just me and Nate now. We had up to six people on the crew for a while, and they're all good dudes. There's no animosity, no weirdness. But moving forward, it's just he and I. And yeah, we post a lot on Instagram and Facebook, and we're just trying to do this thing hopefully the right way and do it a little bit unique. Mm-hmm. And then Kurt and I were talking about getting some of our hats and shirts and stuff in the working class site, and yeah, I mean we're kind of in this thing together because we're real similar, but we're doing different stuff, working class and Whisperwood, and so it just makes sense for us to kind of team up a little more.
No reason not to. Plus, we get to film. I won't give the surprise away yet, but what we did film.
Yeah,
but
it's gonna be good. And you know, Jordan, and you two, you're the reason why me and Kurt know each other, right?
Yeah, that's so weird, right?
It is. That's it is weird.
It's so
weird.
If you guys ever start making money on this, I feel like
we have to pay you.
Yeah, we got some kind of royalties. I don't know how that works. For but sure. I think we get 100%.
I
don't know the math, but
yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. I'm not good at math either, but that sounds right. Mm-hmm. I'll just take your word for that. I don't really
just trust me.
All right, thanks guys for coming back.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for all you do.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having us.
Apologize for Steve's references. They're great though, in a weird way.
Nate, honestly, I apologize for Kurt.
As much as Steve's a dork, if he wasn't here,
It'd suck.
There wouldn't be as many little like ups and downs to the
we
show.
We could have talked
like,
about so much real hunting tips.
Yeah,
and
it would
stuff.
Just be it would be too real. It'd be like reading a very like the books that doctors read before they become doctors. Yeah, you can become a doctor, but it's not entertaining. That's what I'm saying.
Oh my gosh. With a walk off at the end.
All right. Yeah. Thanks for listening. See what I'm doing. Thanks everyone for listening. We appreciate you so much. And I'm gonna get the hell out of here before Steve takes this straight to the dirt. Go shoot your bow.
Through the Blackwater bayous and in the dark Louisiana night floats a duck camp, alive with the sounds of swamp pop and the smells of Cajun cooking. Mississippi Delta in Venice to the Cajun prairies of the Southwest. Me and the Duck Camp Dinners crew will be hunting and eating it all.
This is Duck Camp Dinner.
Join me, Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, and the whole crew every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.